This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go! Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots.
Oh, yeah!
A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts, it's
your cool hill man,
the Greg Hill Show.
We're up and at it, Greg, don't worry about that.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
Westover blocking, May fake throw, back to the end zone, it is a touchdown. Hooper.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Great May. Got a man. It's Stevenson. It's a touchdown. May's 9 for 9. And the Patriots are rolling the Jets on the road.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tandem.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
May inside. It's Diggs. It's a touchdown. Is worth $500,000 too.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Go put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis.
May will climb. May will throw. He's got Henry. Henry's got the touchdown. The red zone machine strikes again.
And Shime.
May on the rollout, on the move, throws to the end zone. It is caught for the touchdown. Guess who? Of his NFL career, Efton Chisholm III.
Not two, not three, not four.
Now,
let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbors.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. I'm a people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go!
Well, good morning and happy Monday, folks. It is Wiggy and the Woman with our furry this morning on this Greg Hill Show. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Wiggy. Good morning, Shime. How we doing?
I'm doing good. How about you? How was your holidays, Christmas, everything Gucci?
Christmas was great. I will tell you, I'm playing hurt today. I came down with the Noro on Friday. And so went through the weekend with that, but feeling a bit better today. And how can I not be great? Because an absolute walloping in New York yesterday for your New England Patriots, 42-10, the final. They end the season perfect on the road.
Yep.
And I mean, Mike Vrabel, I think if you watched him post game yesterday, he is so proud of this team. He's so proud of Drake May. And everybody keeps asking, is Drake May your MVP? Is Drake May the MVP of the league? And he gives the same answer every time. You know, I don't have a vote. I don't have a vote in this, but there's nobody we would rather have to be our quarterback. And nothing is more true than that.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you looked at that game yesterday, they dismantled the Jets, just like you said, undefeated on the road, the ultimate road warriors. I think the biggest thing is you start to look at this football team, a little bit of concern with some of the injuries that we've seen,
yeah.
Especially with the Mac Hollins one. I think, what's he on, IR? So if he were to come back, it wouldn't be until, what would that shine be?
AFC Championship game, if you don't have a first-round bye. If you
right.
do have a first-round bye, he won't be back till the Super Bowl.
Right. So, I mean, he's one of those guys that it's going to be real. you know, you can't really count on him throughout the playoffs. You know, you roll the dice that he comes back, that you get that far. But as far as this football team and the where they are right now, now you just sit here and you hope that some way, somehow, the Chargers could beat Denver in Denver. And that will be able to give you the one seed. You got to take care of business against a Miami team that's scrappy. You know, they've been fighting. They beat, who the hell Miami beat yesterday?
Tampa.
Tampa Bay, right. Yeah, they beat Tampa Bay yesterday. So Miami scrapping, especially with Quinn Hughes starting at quarterback. I think when you look at this Patriots football team, Drake MVP, very close. It's going to come down to him and Stafford, but I ultimately think they're going to give it to Stafford.
I agree. Shy, I'm seeing already on the text line, is there something up with my mic? People are saying that they're missing every other word that I'm saying.
Oh,
that's a them problem.
Okay.
You sound great.
Yep. All right, good. Very, very exciting yesterday. I also thought it was great to see Steph Diggs have a good game. Ramondre Stevenson looked great. There was a moment before halftime, and I'm wondering if Wiggy could maybe have some more insight on that between Vrabel and Barmore.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
What?
So the play on it, the offensive lineman, the rookie kid, Membu, is that his name?
Armand Membu, yeah.
Membu. So after the play, he kind of jumped on Barmore, who was on the ground, like kind of hit him with a little cheap shot, a little dirty play, because the play had went by and he pushed him to the ground and Barmore was on the ground. You know, sometimes you see the offensive lineman kind of basically do a suplex on the guy. That's what he did. Barmore didn't like it. And then Barmore was heated and Vrabel was trying to get him to cool down. But he was so caught up in the moment, it looked like they were going back and forth. But Vrabes, it looked like he was just telling him, hey, calm down, relax. We know it's a dirty play. Don't get yourself thrown out of the game or in a situation where you could affect the team with a penalty or that kind of thing.
Also, when do we get Will Campbell back? We're going to get him postseason?
No, so technically, I believe
he's eligible,
to return to practice this week.
Right.
But do you think we see him in Miami? Because, yes, I understand they're a scrappy team, but the next thing that Vrabel wanted to do was win the division. They've got that AFC East after the Bills fall to the Eagles later yesterday in the afternoon. So do you think that we'll see maybe guys not play in this one?
No, Wiggy, guys will play.
Yeah, Wiggy, I'm curious your thoughts, because I asked Ted about this yesterday on the football show. Like, knowing kind of you're locked in, you have a first round game at home, you're kind of unsure of exactly where you're going to be seated, but there's a strong likelihood you're going to be the 2 or 3 seed.
Right.
Do you rest guys like in the second half at all? Since you're not going to get a bye week, do you give guys that time off to try and rest up a little bit, or do you just play them the full game and hope you get the one seed?
I don't think you can, because you look at this. Great by the Philadelphia Eagles to beat Buffalo. So that ultimately locks you in with the division winner. The only issue is what time that Chargers game is.
I believe both games are at 4:25, the game and the Broncos game.
All right, so you can't sit your guys knowing that the door is still open for you to win the one seed, right? Because if the Chargers win, you become the one seed. So you can't give that game away. The Will Campbell situation, I think if Will Campbell's healthy, ready to go, you play him, give him a game to kind of knock some of the rust off. But if he's not and he needs like another week, Verdarian Lowe has been playing well enough where you go, okay, we'll sit Will Campbell out for another week. But I don't think you could sit your plays because that one seed is still available. There's a likelihood, you know, I don't know what the percentage is, but there's a likelihood that the Chargers could go into Denver and beat Denver, because the Chargers are obviously fighting for where they're going to be seated when it comes to wild card, 5th, 6th, or 7th, and that will determine where they're going to probably have to go on the road, because they don't have no chance. With them losing to the Texans, they don't have no chance of basically being able to outdo Denver. So, no, you don't sit. I don't think you could sit anybody in this game.
Well, it was exciting. We do need to mention that the Celtics fell yesterday to the Portland Trailblazers. I watched the game on Friday. That was when I started feeling not so well against the Pacers. They handled that one easily.
Right. Yesterday they were in it. It was back and forth. But other than your boy Jalen Brown, nobody else could show up.
MVP Jalen Brown.
Yeah, he's balling.
It is time to give him credit, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been we're halfway through the season. Right?
Not quite.
Almost? No, not quite. No.
Well, we're almost.
A third of the way.
Yeah, we're almost to the All-Star break.
We're almost halfway through the season. And for the first half of that half of the season, Jaylen Brown has not gotten the respect I think he's deserved. He's gotten made fun of. He's gotten told that he cannot carry a team on his back.
Mm-hmm.
So on and so forth. I have been on it since the beginning that no matter who was hurt, whether it was Jason or Jaylen to start this season, you would have had the same outcome because this team needed to figure out their new rhythm after all the guys that they lost this offseason. And I'm just so happy that people are finally seeing the light when it comes to Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, he's putting this team on his back. He's been spectacular. I think, like,
he tied Larry Bird's record for consecutive 30-point games.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah,
insane.
He's been ridiculous. And so he's done a tremendous job. When you look at it, when it comes to, you know, MVP voting, it's obviously hard because of OKC and SGA, and we know how the NBA is. They got no problem with giving it to guys back-to-back-to-back. We've seen that with the Joker out in Denver. But, no, he's has his team right where I said they could be. They're, you know, number three in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, now we have to see. It's going to come down to what Brad Stevens and the front office, ownership, what they think of this basketball team and where Jason Tatum is. Because when the trade deadline comes, what are they going to do? Are they going to be players in the trade deadline and saying, okay, we got Jaylen Brown who's proven like he can carry a basketball team. We might be able to get Jason Tatum back. Do we add some pieces that we make a run at the Eastern Conference, you know, championship and see if we could be the team that comes out of the East?
Mm. All right, well, I'm seeing in Twitch already this morning that Steph Diggs, people want to talk about Steph Diggs as well. Cardi B was at the game. I don't know if you guys saw that she was there.
She's always there.
She's always there, but she was there with Kraft. And Twitch and YouTube is brought to you every day by Springer's Jewelers. So make sure to go visit them in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We have a lot to get to today. Like I said, we'll talk a lot of Patriots, some Celtics. The Bruins are in action tonight. It is a Patriots Monday, however, and we will have Mike Vrabel joining us at 7 a.m. this morning. He doesn't need the amount of sleep that he needed last weekend.
Right.
We do not have Boomer this week. He's off this week, so he'll be back in the new year. But Shyam, let's first get to...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's trending?
The Greg Hill Show on WEEI. WEEI.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. Greg is off for the holiday, as is Curtis. So it's Wiggy, Shyam, and myself. It's Wiggy and the Woman with our furry. I like that. Imagine the graphics we could come up with, Wiggy and the Woman with our furry. Like, we could have you on a leash.
Be really one of the producers on this show has already done that before. I'd rather not replicate that.
Okay, yeah, you're right. But before we took our last break, Wiggy, with a big market tease, had a question for Shyam and I've been on the edge of my seat ever since. So, Wiggy, take it away.
All right. So, here's the question. And we've been talking about this, and Courtney, you brought this up early at the show. And as we've kind of went on, you start to think about it, and you start to kind of really look at the schedule and see how it plays out. Would you rather, and Shyam just talked about it, be the one seed if the Chargers win and have to play Buffalo in the division game, but you would have home field throughout the playoffs, or stay at the two seed and not have to see Buffalo if you did see them in the AFC Championship, or you would have to go to Denver for the AFC Championship?
I think the two seed. We've played great on the road. Like, I know people are going to say, but it's the playoffs, and home field advantage means something, and it really is a game changer. Buffalo scares me.
Josh Allen is scary, right?
Yeah,
and so, and my big thing is I'm totally cool with the two seed, because then you get Buffalo facing Denver. Like, they have to face off against one another. And I understand that the Buffalo defense is good, But they've, like, given up points lately. They barely beat Chris Oladokun and the Kansas City, like, second squatters.
All right.
I mean, they got absolutely shellacked at home by the
Jaguars.
You're
talking about the Bills.
No. I'm talking about the Broncos.
Oh, the Broncos.
Like, I think you can score on that defense. Right. I don't think they're quite as good as people think they are. I think the only thing they can do really, really well is they get pressure. But, like, just don't throw it Pat Surtain. Like, that's the only thing. If you throw it Riley Moss, you're going to win.
All right. So you would rather stay at the 2 seed and possibly go to Denver for the AFC championship?
Yeah, because there's still a chance you get Buffalo at home at the AFC championship game.
I think it's also important to say Shime and I have never played in Denver, and we know the players always say that it is very difficult to play in Denver.
Yeah, it is difficult to play in Denver.
So would you rather have the 1 seed?
I always, me personally, from being in the postseason, I would much rather, and I've done it the other way. So the 2 times I was in Super Bowls, we as a team had to go on the road in the championship games to win. Mm-hmm. So, but I would rather play at home in the AFC championship game. I would rather have to come through my home field. Because as an offensive guy, I don't have to worry about snap count because the crowd's too loud, the mistakes that can cause in a game, you know. But I've only been in the 2001, we played in Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship. And then when I was in Carolina, we went to the Rams. Was it the Rams in the NFC Championship game? It was either the Rams or the Eagles. I can't remember. But we were on the road for those games.
And do you feel like it's more also routine, like that guys, you don't have to be taken out of your routine sleeping on the road? I've heard guys say that before
as well. At the Rams
well.
And at the Eagles, Wiggy.
At the Rams and
at the Eagles. Yeah, which one was the NFC Championship game?
Eagles.
Eagles, okay.
And you don't have to be sleeping in a hotel. You kind of get that.
Well, you're sleeping in a hotel no matter what.
But you're home. Like, you're
Yeah,
you're,
yeah, you don't have
base.
To get on an airplane. You don't have to travel. You don't have to fly. You're going to, you know, yeah, that is, like you said, that's more convenient because that's what you know.
So here's the thing, though, Wiggy, right? Like, if you are the 1 seed, there is a chance you then have to play Buffalo and Denver in order to make the Super Bowl. Granted, both games would be at home.
Right.
I totally recognize that. But if you're the 2 seed, there's a strong chance you get the Chargers, followed by possibly the Jaguars, mm-hmm. and then either Denver or Buffalo.
Right. But did you see what you said? If you're the 1 seed, you'd have to play 2 games. Whereas if you're
True,
the
fair
2
point.
Seed, you have to play 3 games, so it's a little bit farther of a path.
Okay. Then that makes me, just so because three of games, how we've been banged up.
So 3 games to get to the Super Bowl as the 2 seed versus as the 1 seed, you're basically in the division game, win that, next game's the AFC Championship, 2 games to get you to
the
Super
also
Bowl.
Also, other benefit of being the 2 seed is Mac Hollins comes back quicker. Because you have to play that extra game, Mac Hollins is now available for the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl and not just the Super Bowl.
Which is weird because I just thought it was 4 weeks. I didn't know it was 4 games.
We had this discussion when Milton Williams originally went out because of the bye week. It has to be 4 games, not 4 weeks.
Right, which is stupid.
I agree.
Makes no sense at all.
There was a 608 texter that wanted, and I live to serve. So the listeners of this program, if they're asking a question they want it answered right now, I want to make sure that they are served. So 608 texter said that they wanted us to answer, honestly, do you think that the Patriots could take on and beat the Rams?
Yes.
Yes.
No problem there.
Because it'll be a neutral site? Yes.
Yeah, okay, and the Rams are a good football team. But like Shime said, offensively, you could score with them. And I think defensively, you're good enough to be able to slow them down.
The Rams lost to the freaking Panthers. Like, I think the Rams are the best team in football. In my opinion, I think right now, pound for pound, roster to roster, they are the best team in football. But, like, they're beatable.
Right.
Like, nobody in the NFL right now is some kind of insane juggernaut. Mm-hmm. There's not even a, like, Patrick Mahomes looming. The only thing close to that is the idea that maybe Josh Allen puts on the Superman cape. That's it. But he's going to have to do it, 3 road games and then a Super Bowl?
Yeah, Josh Allen is the closest thing that you have to Mahomes in this, you know, in this playoff picture on both sides, you know, AFC and NFC. And the Rams, the reason why the Rams are, and I'm making air quotes, considered the best team in football is because, and I get it, Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford have been there before. So that's what gives them that level up on everybody else when it comes to when you start to look at the teams that are remaining. You go, okay, Matthew Stafford's having an unbelievable year, and he's been in the Super Bowl before. Sean McVay has been in the Super Bowl twice, lost one, won one, understand it. Where you're the Patriots, it's like, all right, Vrabel's never been there as a coach, and Drake May has never been there as a player. So that's why I think people give the nod to the Rams when it comes
to... But that's also... I feel like people are getting way ahead of themselves. Mm-hmm. The Rams might be the sixth seed. Like, that's the crazy thing. If San Francisco beats Seattle next week, San Francisco is now the number one seed in the NFC and doesn't have to play a road game again, ever. Like, the Super Bowl is in San Francisco this year. That, to me, is scarier than facing the Rams on a neutral side field, because the Rams are going to have to go on the road for three games in order to make the Super Bowl.
Right. So then where we stand today, Matthew Stafford, Drake May, when it comes to MVP, you still give that nod to Matthew Stafford?
No, I mean, I think Drake May is the MVP, personally. And of course, I'm biased.
Yes.
I get that. I recognize that. But I also think when you break it down, especially in recent years, you have to finish one or two overall in your conference to even be considered. And again, the Rams are going to finish five. There's a good chance they finish five or six.
Right.
And then on top of it, Drake May is only like five total touchdowns behind Matthew Stafford at the moment. Granted, Stafford hasn't played yet this week. He plays tonight, so we'll see how he does there. But you have a better record. Drake May has a better quarterback rating, better completion percentage, just approximately the same amount of yards. Stafford has like five more total touchdowns and I think three less interceptions. And the big thing is Stafford is throwing to Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. Puka Nacua might be one of the offensive player of the year. He's been so good this year.
No,
and Davante Adams leads the league in touchdowns.
Wait, doesn't Drake May has 30 touchdowns?
And plus the five rushing touchdowns. That's why I said total touchdowns.
Oh, okay, total touchdowns. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, but that's all good.
Yeah, I think they're going to look at Matthew Stafford's probably going to finish the season with, you know, right now he's at 40, so let's call it 40-plus touchdowns, five interceptions, where Drake May probably finishes with, you know, 32 touchdowns or something like that. So Stafford finishes passing touchdowns, right? More interceptions. And then the only other thing, I think it's because here's why I think the voters give it to Stafford. Who's more likely to be in the MVP conversation again?
Drake May.
Right. So they probably figure like Stafford's probably, this is his, you know, last kick at the can. He plays a couple more years, but maybe he doesn't have this type of success. We might as well give it to this guy. He's been in a Super Bowl before. He's won one. That's the only thing he doesn't have on his resume, where Drake May has it looks like he can get to a Super Bowl and win one again, like, you know, in his future. And it looks like he's going to be in the MVP conversation again. So it's almost like, you know, the voters go, all right, we'll give it to Stafford just because
of that. I just think what Drake May has done this season is more impressive. 8-0 on the road.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
Overall record, the stats are basically equatable.
Right.
Just like last year with Lamar and Josh Allen.
Right.
I think Drake May deserves it more. You're probably right, Wiggy. Voters will look at it as a quote-unquote career achievement award,
right,
which is dumb. I don't think that's appropriate here, but, I mean, unfortunately.
But look at the way it was last year, right? Who statistically had better statistics?
Lamar. But they screwed Josh out of one the year before,
right,
so they gave it to him.
Right, so it became, you know, like, all right, we didn't give it to Josh. He hadn't had one. Lamar had already had one. So it's like, all right, let's give it to Josh, right? It should be the guy, like you said, Sean. Drake May, his statistics might not be as better, but you could tell that he's more valuable in the sense because he might not have the same type of talent as Matthew Stafford.
Since 2000, Wiggy, I did this research when I was hanging out with Jones last Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Since 2000, there has never been a player to finish third in his own division and win the MVP. And quarterbacks have only finished second in their division and won the MVP once, and it was Peyton Manning in 2008.
Right.
And I guess technically Steve McNair, if you count the year he split with Peyton Manning. That's it.
Now, I want to see Mark and Steve. They're on hold. I want to get their calls in. But quickly, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, and I don't know if you can see it on the Twitch line, on the text line, Shine, but there are a lot of people that are saying that the IR rules are different when it comes to playoffs. So Mac Hollins, it's 4 weeks, not four games.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know that that's accurate.
Yeah, because the rules are like all over the place. You know what I mean? So I guess we can easily, I guess maybe we can find that out.
Something that we could bring up.
It's stupid anyways if it's four games in the regular season. It should just be 4 weeks. What the hell is
right.
It's just a dumb rule anyways.
Like you're still recovering no matter what, whether you're playing or not.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe that's something that they'll change because I think it's dumb, don't you think coaches and players think it's dumb?
Yeah. Here's Mark from Medford. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
So I have two things. First on the MVP conversation, and my second thing will be on the Buffalo Bills yesterday.
Okay.
I do agree that Drake Mays is more, what was the word you used, impressive than Matthew Stafford for one reason. Matthew Stafford has Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. Drake May does not. Drake May has everybody else. Understand what I'm saying?
Yep. No, we get
and the
that.
The second thing, on the Buffalo game yesterday. Now, Wiggy, you touched on it earlier. You said that it would have been better off not kicking the extra point because you had a better chance of getting the it was a guaranteed
the 2-point conversion.
To go down and stop
yeah, that you can
then go down.
Yeah, you'd
well,
be on the 3-yard line.
The 2-point conversion, as we saw, wasn't guaranteed either. And like you said, Hurts was shut down. Barkley was shut down the whole second half. I would have took my chances of kicking the extra point.
Yeah, I guess you could, but the Philly also did block in a field goal attempt.
Yep.
I think when coaches do it, we probably should ask Vrabel that too. He probably can give us for what stretch, the stretch insight into the analytics. I think the way that they look at it is we have a better chance knowing that we're going to be on the 3-yard line versus we either got to drive the length of the field to score a touchdown or drive a good distance to get in field goal range versus we know we're going to be on the 3-yard line with the 2-point conversion to win the football game. You know what I mean? One is like, all right, here's what's guaranteed. There's no guarantee we get the 2-point conversion, but we are guaranteed we're going to have an attempt from the 3-yard line versus the other two where there's no guarantee you even get in the field goal range or you drive the length of the field to score a touchdown.
All right, well, we got to take a quick break. I see Bob and Steve on hold. I want to get to you. We still have to get to They Said It, and we have the news. So I'm trying to fit it all in, but we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
The Greg Hill Show.
You're listening to The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Greg Hill Show. It's Wiggy and the Woman and our furry Shime. And I see Steve and Bob. They've been hanging on, so I want to get to them. Bob, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. How
I got
are
you? A quick question about Drake and Stafford for the MVP. I know Drake is number two quarterback for the Pro Bowl. Did Stafford get picked for number one?
Well, no, because then
in the Pro Bowl.
Well, if it's the Pro Bowl voting, is that what he's talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know who would be number one in far as Pro Bowl voting. I mean, that's probably.
So you guys don't know who the number one QB is? Stafford. Drake was picked number two, right?
Right, but
the AFC quarterback.
Yeah, but the AFC though. In the AFC, it could be anybody. It's probably Josh Allen in the AFC.
Did Stafford make the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, he probably will make the Pro Bowl in the NFC.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious. You know what I mean? That ranks right there. I really would, believe it or not, I don't want Drake to get it yet. And I'm a diehard Patriots fan. Keep him humble. It's his second year. Give him a little more. You know what I mean?
But I would look
it
at it like this,
It might be too
though.
Early in his career.
But, Bob.
It might be too. Look at all the MVPs that have gotten it early and haven't won a Super Bowl.
Right, but I would look at it like this because people say that.
He's not alone either. There were some texters that were saying, I want to keep Drake hungry.
Right, but here's the thing. If you're number two in MVP voting.
Yeah.
Aren't you, at that pinnacle? Granted, if you don't win it,
I don't think Mahomes winning in his first year as a starter made him less hungry.
Right. Same with Brady. Like, I think once you get to that pinnacle, if you win the MVP or you finish second in the MVP, I think you're like, all right, I'm one of the top dogs.
Yeah.
So you can go in either direction. You could still be like, yo, I'm one of the top dogs because I finished second.
Right.
Or I could win it and be like, I'm going to take my foot off the gas because I've done that. But I don't think Drake May has that in him, that gene in
me
him.
Either.
Like, I think if he wins it or he doesn't win it, he's still going to be the same player. He's still going to have that drive and that hunger.
And I think that whether or not you win an MVP early on in your career, if that makes you less hungry, then you shouldn't be a starting quarterback for a lengthy time anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's like, I mean, he's in a position. All the MVP does is just make him his agent going, oh, we can add another zero to
dollar
your
signs.
Yeah, we can add another zero.
Here's Steve in the truck. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Wiggy, it's Steve from East Boston, East Boston Youth Hockey.
What's
How
up, brother?
Doing, buddy?
What's going on?
Not much, Phil. Courtney, congratulations again on the blessed event. You're going to be a great mother. I know
Thank
you are.
Thank you. Thank you.
The thing I mean, I love Drake May, and I hope he does get the MVP, although I think Stafford's going to get it. And I think the Patriots are going to, they're going to go probably to the championship game. Who knows about the Super Bowl, but I hope they get in. But the thing I'm looking at with Buffalo, reason why I think they screwed up yesterday, I understand about the blocked kick. But if you kick the extra point, they held Philadelphia in the second half of that game to 19 yards. That's it for the whole second half. So I think they would have been okay if they kicked the extra point and then gone down and either got a, you know, got a score the other way, a touchdown or a field goal if they had a match it. That's my only issue. Why, if your team's playing that good on defense in the second half, and they are a second-half ball club, because they did to us, why would you not take the extra point and take a shot at going down and beating them? Because they couldn't do anything against you in the second half.
Right, but I think it's like this, right? It goes back to if you kick the extra point, now it's almost starting a new game. And granted, I know that Philly didn't do anything, but it's a new game. So let's say you're Buffalo and you lose the toss. Philly now kicks you the football. Whether it's downpouring, the weather's horrible. Granted, they haven't moved the football. But let's say you go 3-and-out. You then kick the ball to Philly. Now, Philly has an opportunity to go and win the football game, whether that's kicking the field goal or scoring a touchdown. So what you've done is if you went 3-and-out, you give Philly a chance to win the game, but you get the ball. Let's say you get it on the 35-yard line or whatever, you know, 35-yard line. You have to go, what's that, 65 yards to score a touchdown?
Yeah.
Or you have to go, let's call it 40 yards to kick a field goal. Versus if you're at the 3-yard line, you got, I know it's only one play, but it's from the 3-yard line, you come up with your best play, and that gives you an opportunity to win the football game where we know we're at the 3-yard line. I think maybe that's the decision-making is like, you know what I mean? One, you know where you're going to be. The other one, you don't know where the hell you're going to be and how far you got to go. So I think maybe that's the way Sean McDermott played it out. Even Tashaim talked about it earlier. It was an unbelievable play call. The receiver's wide open. Josh Allen just misses him.
Right. All right, well, we got to take a quick break. We are going to get to They Said It next. You need to hold me accountable, Shime. You've put in the effort for this, so I got to make sure that we get to it. We're going to take a quick break. They Said It coming up next.
May fake throw back to the end zone. It is a touchdown for Austin Hooper. Great May. Got a man. It's Stevenson. It's a touchdown. May inside. It's Diggs. It's a touchdown. May will climb. May will throw. They take their step. They will clinch the East if the Bills lose.
Comes down to this. Allen looking to throw. Throws to throw.
Yes! Yes!
This season is far from being over. We can
celebrate this and enjoy this. It's far from being over. So congratulations. Okay, all the credit goes to you guys.
Hey, pass on me. Pass on three. One, two, three.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Good afternoon and happy holidays here on a Victory Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and what you just heard was sort of the summation of the activities from yesterday that saw your New England Patriots whoop some ass down at MetLife Stadium over the Jets, taking care of their business as they were expected to, as they should. And then the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen stumbling, falling on their faces a little bit, losing. And if you wondered why that audio of the final play of the Bills game going for two was a little tough to hear, it's because it was from the video of the Patriots watching that game on their buses, finding out they had indeed clinched the AFC East. They are a playoff team. They will play at home to open the playoffs. They have hats. They have T-shirts. They have some nice photos they took in an airplane hangar. Big guys in the back, little guys in the front, Mike Vrabel said. Nick Fitzy Stevens, it was a heck of a good day for the New England Patriots yesterday. And I want to start with this. I think that was a sneaky big performance yesterday. Not a sneaky big win, as we sometimes call these things on the Six Rings post-game show. A sneaky big performance that the Patriots put forth, banged up, when they whooped some bum-bum down at MetLife Stadium. So I think that can't be overlooked. If they had stumbled and were in a dogfight, we would have ripped them. So when you don't stumble and you take care of business, despite all the possible excuses, I'm going to give you credit for it.
All right, so what percentage of yesterday's utter domination of the husk of a football team that is the Jetropolitans do you give to the Patriots for being on point and gaming up, battered, bruised, and banged up as they were? And how much of that goes to the Jets literally being one of the worst football teams I think any of us have ever seen on a professional football field, let alone the Home Depot rolled out turf on the concrete floor of that toilet of a stadium that is MetLife?
55% Patriots, 45% Jets. I give them a little bit more than 50-50.
Yeah, I was going to go 60-40. Very
showing fair. Up, you know, showing out with the likes of Vedarian Lowe and Ben Brown and fill-ins on the line, fill-ins at receiver, guys on defense that I shouldn't admit this, but I will admit this. Had to look up their first names when I was looking at the stat sheet to figure out who had, like, the fifth most tackles. His name is apparently Leonard Taylor III. He had a very nice game for your front seven with some of those guys banged up. But they could have had excuses, or they could have had, correct me if I'm wrong, Fitzy, they're kind of a young, new football team, right? Like, new coaching staff, young players. This is not a, you know, roll out of bed and know what you're going to get kind of football team. They could have stumbled. This is late in the year. It's the holidays. It's an opponent they're supposed to beat. You just said they're barely an NFL team. Relegate them to the SEC. Lesser teams stumble in those situations, don't they?
Yeah, I know. It's just, I would have said 60-40 as well. I can't believe, I'll take 1 second. I can't believe I even thought for one moment leading up to yesterday that the Jets would put forth anything resembling a proper effort, that they would do any. I mean, who's that? They started Brady Cook and what, somebody named Austin McCormick or Austin McIntyre. Someone else got like a snap or two late. Like, who the hell are these people?
I
know Breece Hall.
Dobbs. You played Chisholm. You played.
Yeah, but hold on a second. That's Patriots living legend and future Hall of Famer Efton Chisholm III. Thank you very much, of Eastern Washington.
Undrafted
University.
Jag.
Ah, what are you talking about? That guy, he's been waiting for that moment. Like, he's the extra something. You need to level up. You need to take the game to a new level for the postseason and introduce a wrinkle that's going to have defensive coordinators tinkling in their pantaloons and not getting any sleep prior to the matchup. I give you Efton Chisholm III. No, the Jets are awful, but the Patriots, again, all season long. I don't care if it's their easiest schedule in 29 years, if it's the cool whip of schedules in the NFL this year or not. Andy, they went out and scored touchdowns on five consecutive drives. Five. That's right. Five, Mrs. Bueller. Five in a row. The first three of which they only needed seven plays. Seven. That's right, Stiggs. They only needed seven plays on those three drives. If anything, a nice flex, a good trip to the gym where you like what you see in the mirror, good shower and a meal afterwards. That's exactly what the Patriots needed on their way to claiming their hats and t-shirts.
And that's part of it, because I do believe in postseason momentum. I do believe teams get hot late in the year. And I do believe it was a nice win a week earlier in Baltimore. I don't want to hear the excuses about the other coach is a dumbass and had their best player on the sideline, and he proved that five days later when he rushed for 200 yards and four touchdowns and carried his team to victory. And I don't want to hear yet a backup quarter. That was a good comeback victory in a playoff environment. Don't lose that momentum. Keep that momentum going. And that's exactly what they did, despite the fact they were without some of their best players. And there are sort of inbred excuses to that game that they could have taken, despite the fact. And yes, it's a Patriots Monday, so we're going to talk to Drake May and Marcus Jones. Marcus Jones, loosely scheduled for 4 o'clock. Drake May, loosely scheduled for sometimes between 2:07 and 6 o'clock. But he was under the weather.
It's a very airline.
A little window there. We'll give you a window. We're like, you ever get the cable guy? And he's like, yeah, we'll be there between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. And you're like, can you give me something a little tighter?
Back in the days when you had phone guys, 9X would be like, we'll be there between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m.
That's cool. Drake May. He'll be here between 2:07:31 and 6 p.m. when we get the hell out of here. But I think he was under the weather yesterday, and none of that mattered. And you said five big boy drives. Yes, there was a turnover in there that they took advantage of, but there were no short fields. They went 60-plus yards on each of those five drives against an actual, real, legitimate, well, actual and real, I'll stop there, I won't say legitimate, NFL football team that was on the other side of the ball. And I'm going to choose to give them credit for that, because this team, we can't get to the point where we take anything for granted. We shouldn't. They have 13 wins, Fitzy. We were predicting seven. Some were predicting a few more.
We're talking about right now the New England Patriots have three more wins than their team last year and both New York teams this year combined. Three more wins. They are the only team in the NFL this year to win every game on the road. And they may very well need to win one more game, uno más game on the road to get to the ultimate showdown, to get back to America's worst nightmare, which is the Pats in
the big game.
So Fitzy,
it's all there in front of them, man. They've earned every square inch of it.
They became just the second team in NFL history to have 13 losses one year and 13 wins the following season. The first team to do that was the 1998-1999 Colts. You might remember those because those were the first 2 years of Peyton Manning's career
when he led the league in interceptions and then led the league in touchdowns. It was quite the turnaround.
This year, it's Drake May's first two seasons. So if you want to add a Hall of Fame elite GOAT comparison to Drake May's list of accomplishments, he's doing Peyton Manning kind of things with your New England Patriots, going from 13 losses to 13 wins. There's plenty of other statistics out there. We'll get to those later in the show. Drake May had a performance yesterday that was basically one of one, five touchdowns, five different players, all these different things. But did anything change for you yesterday, Fitzy, in terms of, and you can include other aspects of the league, things you saw through the totality of the Thursday through Sunday and even tonight on Monday Night Football, week 17 part of the season? Anything change? Are you looking at the Patriots any differently? And then we're going to get into some bigger picture questions. But did anything change with their performance or the performances you saw around the league this weekend?
Yeah, I became even more resolute in my belief that the Patriots can go to the Super Bowl. The Broncos struggled to beat the Chiefs, who started Chris Omachute. I mean, literally, even the Chiefs didn't know who they started at quarterback, and yet somehow they almost pulled out the win during that trash fire of a triple header on Christmas Day. The Steelers couldn't beat the Browns to win the NFC, to win the AFC North.
Nope.
The Ravens, just Derrick Henry left, Derrick Henry right, and then Derrick Henry up the middle all night is probably the formula for them to be able to beat almost anybody. And yet still, their coach and coordinators will find a way to get in the way of their possible dominance and maybe even a division title as well. Josh Allen had a guy wide open for a two-point conversion, which would have staved off the AFC East going to the Patriots, and missed. Like, they blew the comeback. It was also a bad decision. Their coach stinks. That's a bad decision to go for 2 points right there when you've given up 17 yards. Not 17 points. 17 yards to your opponent in the second half. No, like, Everybody has flaws. And the Patriots' flaws, I hate to say it, even as banged up as they are, Andy, as banged up as these Patriots are, their flaws are less glaring. Their flaws are smaller than all these other teams.
617-779-7937. The texts are flying in, and we all know that WEEI Afternoons is the home of bad jokes. I won't say who tells the bad jokes. I think we all contribute at various times, but we do have a 508 follower that wants to chime in with a handful of bad jokes regarding Jets-Patriots yesterday.
Go get him.
508, the Wright brothers would have beaten the Jets in an aerial dogfight yesterday. Boom! Brockton High School would have beaten the Jets yesterday.
Signed, Wiggy.
I don't know. Wiggy's tenure or one of the other coaches? Nope, not doing it, Wiggy. 508 again. Amtrak would have beaten the Jets in a race from New York to Boston yesterday. And that's it for now. We'll see if he's got any more.
But hey, listen, the rule of three in comedy is one, two, at least they adhere to one of the golden rules, so good for them.
So 617-779-7937, your reaction to what you're seeing from your New England Patriots, because Fitzy, my takeaway is they are absolutely a Super Bowl contender. There is not a team in the AFC that I would not pick the Patriots to beat right now. There is not a team I would be a scared of, as they say in the radio business. So I want people to tell me. I want people to try to play this. And I don't know if this is an activity, an exercise that listeners are capable of in Patriot Nation. Tell me why the Patriots aren't a Super Bowl contender. Why should I not have faith that the Patriots are a legitimate Super Bowl contender? Play the devil's advocate game. Fitzy, I'll give you the first opportunity. Tell me, explain to me, because I'm getting out over my skis, I'm gullible, optimistic Andy, why are the Patriots not a Super Bowl contender?
I was trying to think which way I wanted to go. There's a couple of possible avenues. All right, I'll just go with the easiest, most obvious, and overused to date. They're a product of their schedule. That's it. They've had to play nobody along the way. Oh, okay, yeah, they had, like, beating the Bucks. That's not so impressive. They beat the Bills once and lost to them when they could have claimed their division title. The Ravens helped them win that game. The Patriots beat nobody along the way to go in 13-3 or possibly 14-3. Trash schedule, soft ass team.
I believe the Patriots beat 13 teams that the NFL told them they had to play at specific times and locations. I believe that's who they beat. And I believe the NFL only has 32 teams, and that's all you can do is play the teams that the league assigns you to play. I also believe that if you do some research, and I heard Mego talking about this, I've seen this elsewhere, teams that have these soft-ass schedules and build up a lot of regular season wins, you know what usually happens to them in the postseason, Fitzy?
What's that?
They usually go deep into the postseason to either the championship game or the Super Bowl. Yep. You can go back and look at teams like, I think it was the 99 Rams, the undefeated Dolphins. There's a slew of teams along the way. When you build confidence and build a resume against bad football teams, funny thing happens along the way. You actually become a good football team and go deep in the playoffs. Dan Ball, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. How the hell are you?
Hello, guys. Good afternoon, and the same to you. Bill Barnwell, who Ted Johnson famously described as living in his mother's basement, wrote a story about the ease of the Patriots' schedule. It's a top 10 easiest schedule of all time. But three of the previous nine teams that had that same kind of metric won the Super Bowl. And
damn,
I think
right,
six out of the nine at least went to a conference championship game.
Ooh.
So that it still is, it's an advantage during the regular season, but teams more times than not have been able to answer that kind of challenge.
Lives in his mother's basement.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Wait, what was the Dan Ball, Andy Hart, et cetera, what is that fancy SID stat that was floating around in our pregame prep as well? I don't think I just heard Dan regurgitate it.
Dan Ball, you had that in there. It was the teams that ranked in the top.
The five teams, something else, Dan?
That are Super Bowl caliber based on their offensive and defensive rankings. Dan Ball is efforting to find his statistic back there. But it basically will tell you that, yes, the Patriots are among the handful of teams that, based on statistics and history, are legitimate Super Bowl contenders this year. Dan Ball?
Okay, per PFF ranks, which I know, take them with what you will, in the past 9 years, every team
Andy's
that has won
burner.
Every team that has won a Super Bowl has had at least a top 11 offense and a top 13 defense. Every team that has made it has had at least a top 11 offense, blah, blah, blah. There are currently five teams that fit the Super Bowl winning criteria based on that metric. The Rams, the Jaguars, the Bears, the Bills, and your New England Patriots.
So, according to history,
top 11 offense, top 13 defense, last nine seasons.
You are one of three teams in the American Football Conference, one of five teams in the NFL that is a legitimate Super Bowl contender based on what you have done? Because I know the past 11 teams or 13 years, whatever you said the window there was, some of those teams probably had bad schedules, right? Like, bad schedules happen. The Bills have played a pretty bad schedule because they played the same schedule you have played other than those three games decided by where you finished in the standings. And you have to take advantage. And that's where I get back to, Fitzy, something I brought up to you last night on the postgame show, Six Rings. Mike Vrabel's first assertion as the head coach of the Patriots was, take advantage of bad football. Take advantage of sucky football teams. Don't be a sucky football team. That's what they were a year ago. They were a sucky football team a year ago. He wanted to take advantage of sucky football teams. They have done that at a really high level. They did that at a really high level yesterday. So they checked off the first box on the coach's to-do list.
Yeah, I feel like I went back and listened to Vrabel's introductory presser from January 13th. Stop me if I'm wrong. I correct me if I'm off path here, but I do believe the Patriots have basically checked every box from his introductory presser.
Yep.
It was they're going to play well enough to take advantage of bad football. They want to compete for the division title and they want to play home playoff games. That was his litany of 1, 2, 3. I think he literally just went ding ding ding. Like, what? So what? So now
you think the team is like, well, we're done here. Nothing to do more, coach. We're just
really
going to call it a year. Hey, coach, you want to update the to-do list? Because we're done. It's like when your wife gives you a to-do list. It's like, mow the lawn, take out the garbage, get the dishes. And you do those, you're like, Miller Lite time. I'm done for the weekend.
There's going to be one to win the division.
That's it, coach. You got any more?
Yeah, that's it. Season's over after that.
Yeah. No, I think there's something to that. When you give somebody expectations, goals, at some point it's awesome that you have to do this, but what is the updated goal? Because Stiz asked me a question, and this may be a teaser to a three-point stance.
It's not a question, it's a fact, Andy.
Is it Super Bowl or bust for your New England Patriots? Which is a weird thing to add. Oh, easiest schedule ever, this and that. But we just said it. Home playoff game, check. Win the division, check. Take advantage of bad football, check. So the next thing on that list, and he did say it at the time, compete for championships. So
well,
they're
competing for one now.
Super Bowl. Well, you know, really compete for a championship. You got to be in the final four to consider yourself competing for a championship.
There's only one
opinion.
Trophy that matters around here.
Hardo Belichick Stiz is back. I love it.
And that is
off.
The trophy that we need to get made for the Jones and Key Fantasy Football League, the winner of which is talking right now.
I don't think anybody cares about that. Literally, people that were in the league.
Congratulations, that a boy. We all learned something new today.
Yeah. Stanley, if you need some advice next year, I'm available. Small consulting fee.
Yeah, Ted and I didn't do great. I will say Ted didn't offer much help throughout the season, but that's okay. He's busy doing TV. I know he has other obligations.
He's got Ted things going on.
We also have a texter that I might beg to differ with. In the playoffs, you're not playing sucky football teams. That may be true. I don't know that you're playing
great
football teams.
There's a whole lot of sucky going on in this NFL this year.
And you might be playing sucky parts of football teams. I don't think all these football teams, using Dan Ball's statistic, just line up with offense and defense and special teams and coaching and all. Like, you can take advantage of some sucky aspects of these opponents. And that's why I say, is this a Super Bowl team in any given year? No. I do not believe the 2025 Patriots are a Super Bowl caliber team in any given year. They don't.
The 2018 Patriots would probably knock them on their ass.
They don't have to be. They just have to be a Super Bowl caliber team in the 2025-2026 NFL season. This January is the only January that matters. And are you as scared of Trevor Lawrence and the Jags? They're in your little stat pack of information, Dan Ball, right? The Jags are as balanced as Duval. You afraid of that coach?
Hey, another coach of the year candidate. I got to say, I'll tell you who I respect. All the coach of the year candidates. I think I would give equal footing and Moss respect to the Bears because of their ability to come. And the Niners put up 42 last night, and the Bears still almost won the damn game. Like, that team doesn't stop fighting till the end. The Jags' turnaround has been every bit as impressive as the Patriots' turnaround has been as well. Like, there's people out there that are doing phenomenal work. But if we go through all the 14 projected playoff teams, I do think the Ravens are going to go in and go number one on all the fries inside the Permane Brothers sandwiches on Sunday in Pittsburgh. You go through all 14 playoff teams, there's a little bit of sucky, if not a lot, in each and every one of those teams, including the Eagles, who, you know, are the defending Super Bowl champions. All of them, Andy. Each and every team.
So that's true. I agree with you. 14 teams, 14 suckies. Which sucky is the New England Patriots? 617-779-7937. What's the sucky part of your New England Patriots? If we accept that this isn't a great year and all 14 playoff teams are going to have a sucky part of their team, what is the sucky part of your New England Patriots? We're answering that question, 617-779-7937, here on a Victory Patriots Monday. We will talk to Drake May. We will talk to Marcus Jones, and we'll talk to you up next here on WEEI. But first, Dan Ball has...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's trending?
Never taken a day off is Hunter Henry. The New England Patriots, who just clinched the AFC East. Hunter, thank you so much for holding on and joining us. I know you were waiting through those commercials. Don't worry, we're not going to hit you with the surprise question of the week. This is Megan. I just wanted to start. Congrats on the victory over the Jets yesterday and clinching the division. Patriots shared a video of you guys on the bus, learning that you clinched the division, watching the end of that game. What was it like waiting to see how that was going to play out for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were all just watching the game, as fans, and also just, you know, obviously implications on the line. And, obviously we still had control of things. You know, we were focused on this week and, you know, what Miami presents for us. But always good to, you know, have a chance to win the division and to see that live and to be with everybody, too. I think, like, on the trip home was pretty special.
Hunter, you came here in 2021. You guys made the playoffs that season, then had three losing seasons after that, a couple different head coaches. Now you're back to a winning season, a playoff berth, AFC East Championship. From your perspective, being here through all that, what's been the biggest factor or factors in that turnaround?
I just think I can speak on this year, man. And I just feel like we have a great locker room. Starts with that. And guys that just love playing for each other, love coming to work, love, you know, going through the grind together. It's a lot of unselfish guys, a lot of guys that just want to do what's best for the team and, just playing together. And I think also, you know, Braves just brings a great energy to this team, and we're fired up to play for him. He brings an accountability, a level, a standard that you got to play to. And, it's just a lot of fun to be in this building and be here.
So I don't know if you're aware or not, but you set a single season career high in receiving yards with your receptions yesterday. How aware are you of those stats as the season goes along for yourself individually with how many years you've been in the league?
obviously you pay attention to it. It's always a blessing to be able to continue to produce, even with, you know, the more years you put in this. Feel like I still have a lot to prove, honestly, and still feel like I'm getting better, and still feel like I'm trying to get better and improve, and I feel like there's a lot of ways I can. So that's the beauty of it. You never have this game figured out, and just always trying to get better.
And Hunter, you saw Drake May come in as a rookie last year, develop along the way, and his development this year. Now he's an MVP candidate, leading your team to a division championship. What have you seen kind of in the growth of him, even just from July to right now?
Just leadership, confidence, commands of the offense. I mean, you know, this is a new scheme, new offense, and I feel like he's really taken ownership in it and command of it. And, he's just playing at a high level. It's a lot of fun to, you know, fly around and make plays with him.
You guys have one game left against the Dolphins, and then it's on to the playoffs. As you look down the stretch, like, you got this one game left, and then it's really resetting for almost another season with the playoffs. How do you keep yourselves energized? It's such a long season, and you guys play such a physical brand of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at it like how we all have all year. I mean, it's just we got another game ahead of us, and you know, not looking at you know, too far in advance, but just what we have in front of us, and that's the Dolphins this week, and that's all we can focus on.
We're talking with Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. And Hunter, following up on that, there is a possibility you guys could get the number one seed if Denver loses this week and you guys beat Miami. I know your focus is on Miami. Do you pay any attention at all to Denver and trying to get the number one seed and, you know, hope for the number one seed, or is that really not on your radar?
I mean, yeah, of course you would love the number one seed. I mean, yeah, we would all, who doesn't want the number one seed, right, in a bye week? But we just got to take care of what we got to take care of, obviously, which, you know, you can't look back on things and wish you would have done things differently. But, you know, we just got to focus on what we can, and wherever the, you know, cards fall, you just got to attack it that way.
Due to some of the injuries yesterday, Efton Chisholm got some opportunities on offense, and he scored his first NFL touchdown. The entire team looked so excited, and Mike Vrabel had a big hug for him after the game. What has that guy been like behind the scenes from all the way back in minicamp trying to make the roster to catching his first touchdown yesterday?
Yeah, it's just a testament of hard work, dedication. Just a guy that, you know, does whatever the team needs, and just continue to get better and improve. And that's what this league is. The league is about opportunity, and he got a big opportunity yesterday and took full advantage of it. And, pretty cool to see.
And with that win yesterday, you guys are undefeated on the road this season. That's a unique thing to be able to do, Hunter. Is there anything in particular that you think helped you guys go undefeated on the road, or was it just kind of each individual game coming together?
Yeah, I'd say just each individual game coming together. You know, not looking at the big picture, just attacking each week. And, you know, we're able to string together some big wins, and it's hard to win on the road. And to be able to do it 8 times and not lose, it's pretty special.
Hunter, we are smack dab in the middle of the holiday season. What are the odds that you stay up till midnight on New Year's Eve this week?
odds are very low.
All right. John, you got one more
Well,
here?
I just, on that, any New Year's resolutions for you, Hunter, or you don't care about that?
I'll have some New Year's resolutions. I usually kind of keep those to myself. Me and my wife probably have some, but yeah, I'm digging to that. Love kind of set some resolutions and some things for the 2026.
Great. All right. Well, Hunter Henry, congrats again on clinching the division, going perfect on the road, a lot to celebrate, and hopefully a lot more to celebrate on the horizon in the new year.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Have a great one, Hunter. Hunter Henry of the New England Patriots.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.